Good morning. So today I'm going to be talking to you about some work we've been doing. Partly has been sponsored by a Southern SARE grant, and that was initiated with my colleagues Fugan Doe and Shane Zoe from Texas A&M AgriLife, and then my other colleagues Sarah Duke and Rufus Cheney. Rufus has helped us in some of the arsenic analysis. Sarah Duke was a statistical advisor. And then we have a collaboration with Applied Speciation, Russ Garrod, who also did some arsenic analysis. So you folks may be wondering why we're talking about arsenic. Well, arsenic is a naturally occurring element that's found in soil and in water. And there is recent change in terms of the allowable limits that are allowed in our drinking water. And this map shows where this is where the an assessment of the arsenic that's in the water has been found by USGS, and arsenic that's in the water is in the form of inorganic arsenic. This is an assessment of arsenic in the soils, and where arsenic in the soils can be found in two different forms, an organic and an inorganic form. And I have circled here the areas where we grow rice in this country, predominantly in the south central region, but we also have an area here in California. And you can see that those are some of the areas that have a little bit higher levels of arsenic in the upper surface soils. So arsenic is, even though it's ubiquitous, it's kind of unusual in the rice production system, is that the rice plant, because it's primarily grown in a flooded anaerobic environment, the arsenic that is just naturally in the soil is made more available to uptake by the plant. And this is due to a series of very complex processes involving the soil chemistry as well as microorganisms in the soil. And so you can grow rice on a piece of ground that has just low levels of arsenic and will actually have higher accumulation of arsenic in its grain than another crop that would be grown there under dry land conditions like wheat or corn. So this wasn't even on any of our radars in terms of the rice research community until about eight or so years ago, when there started to be some publications in the press, both in the scientific journals as well as in the just general public press, about finding arsenic in rice and arsenic in U.S. rice. And so we had to turn our attention to just addressing this issue, something that we've never actually looked at before. There also was some evidence that organically grown rice may have higher levels of arsenic. And so this study that we were conducting based upon, it was really looking at some various cultural management practices and how those can be used to optimize yield production of rice. And so we looked at used these same samples to evaluate them for arsenic accumulation. And so we had a series of studies that were conducted over several years, all conducted at the Beaumont, Texas A&M Research Center, and these were conducted on organically managed fields. The first study I'll talk about was one where we were looking at different soil fertility amendments and different rates, and the objective was to identify which of these products might be more valuable to our organic growers and provide them with improved yield potential. So we had these different amendments versus a control, which was none of the amendments applied. The field that we were going into followed several seasons of green manure cropping, and then in the summer of 2010, we planted one variety called Presidio using a drill-seeded method and with our different soil fertility managements. And so then in the next year, I'm going to talk about the different studies that we did and how they changed. So then the next year, we focused on just a couple of the fertility amendments, Nature Safe and Rhizogen, and we had more rates. And in this study, we actually planted it through water seeding, not through drill seeding. And then in 2012 and 2013, we expanded the study to look at various winter cover crops, fallow, clover, and ryegrass. We still were focusing on the two soil amendments, and then we increased it to using more than one variety. We also had another variety called Tasanai. And so here's a picture of the fallow field, and next to it a white clover field, which would have been the what was plowed down prior to planting. And my colleague Fugendeau will be giving a talk after me that's going to be focusing on some of these other agronomic aspects. So the samples that we were analyzed for grain arsenic, this is total arsenic, and it's this was performed by Russ, and he's using the ICP-MS method, and he's able to differentiate between organic and inorganic arsenic, but what I'll be talking about today is just the total arsenic, which is the combination of the two. So this is looking at the first study where we looked at the different fertility treatments. And so we have the control, and we had, this is looking at total arsenic in the brown rice. And we had this one treatment called Maximum Compost, which had very high levels of phosphorus in it, had the lowest level of grain arsenic, and this was significantly lower than any of the other treatments. However, when we looked at yield potential, we found that that Maximum Compost also had the lowest yield. But if we looked at just the plotting of brown rice arsenic versus to the yield potential of most of those products, we found essentially no correlation between yield and grain arsenic, suggesting that you could identify high-yielding production environment treatments that were not necessarily higher in grain arsenic. The next year, where we looked at just two of the amendments, the Nature Safe and the Rhizogen, and we had different rates here. And here we're looking at the yield potential. And the first thing I want to point out is in this year, the yield potential of the whole study was much higher than the previous year, where the control was like 2,300 kilograms per hectare. And this year, it was like 6,800 pounds. So we're looking at a higher yield environment than in the previous year. So we are seeing some response to the different fertility amendments in terms of yield potential. And then again, when we look at the amount of arsenic in the grain, we found that the only difference was really between the control, where we had not applied any fertility amendments, but there was no significant difference amongst the most of the treatments for the different fertilities. So when we're in an environment where you haven't added anything, you're actually having lower arsenic levels. And where you have a little bit higher yield potential, you're seeing a little bit higher arsenic levels in this situation. So, and then the next 2 years, where we had introduced the use of the different cover crops, first I'll talk about the results looking at pooled across the different cover crops. And again, the previous year, the control was at about 6,800 pounds per acre, and in these 2 years, it averaged over 8,000 kilograms per hectare. And so we're seeing even a higher yield potential environment in this setting. So in this situation, we found that one of the products, Rhizogen, had a higher yield potential as compared to the control. However, the Nature Safe was not significantly different from either of these other two treatments. And when you look at the amount of arsenic that's in these different treatments, we saw that, the control had the lower amount of total arsenic, but we didn't necessarily see a correlation with higher yield potential and higher arsenic. In this one situation where we had the highest yield, we did have the higher arsenic, but these other treatments were not necessarily following in line. So looking at what was the impact of cover crops on these traits. So here we looked, we have 2 years of data, so the blue is the 2012. Unfortunately, our fallow trial, we had weak enough stands in our yield plots that we were not able to harvest it for yield. In 2013, we had the same cover crops, and we were able to harvest all plots for yield. Oops. Oop. Oop. Sorry. So here we're looking at that in year 2012, there was the ryegrass cover crop gave a higher yield potential as compared to clover. And it also gave us a significantly higher level of grain arsenic in the brown rice as compared to the clover. And the next year, we didn't see any treatment differences due to cover crop, but we did find that the fallow field had lower levels of grain arsenic, even though there was not a difference in terms of yield potential. And in the 2012 year, where we were not able to harvest for yield, we found that the fallow field had also lower levels of grain arsenic. So in both of those years, the fallow system gave us lower arsenic, but not necessarily, we can't necessarily say what it would do in terms of yield potential because we missed the 1 year. So just looking at 2013, where we had all of our treatments in place and were able to harvest the fallow field, and here what I'm looking at is just the control plots where we don't have any of the other fertilizer amendments applied. So we're just looking at the impact of the cover crop. And so here we found no difference in terms of the yield potential of the different cover crops, although numerically a little bit higher for the fallow. But again, we're seeing this significantly lower level of grain arsenic in this following this cover crop as compared to these other two cover crops. So another thing we'd introduced was looking at a couple of different rice varieties. And so we had two varieties, Presidio and Tace and I. And what was dramatic about this was that there was tremendous difference in yield potential pulled across all of the different treatments. And the variety Tace and I had almost 10,000 kilograms per hectare as compared to the 6,000 for Presidio, but it had much significantly lower grain arsenic levels. We'd done some previous studies where we'd looked at really more a larger number of rice varieties, comparing them under organic management and under conventional management. And so this just shows that in those studies where these are various long grain, and medium grain rice varieties, that again, you see variation in terms of grain arsenic levels, and here we're looking at what's called whole milled rice per acre, which is a combination of the yield potential as well as the whole milling yield, so it's essentially looking at crop value. And so what we see here, we have some varieties that have lower grain arsenic levels, but they also happen to have lower crop value also, whereas we also have other varieties that have, you know, higher levels of arsenic, but not necessarily, man, I hate your bounce, that have higher yield potential and maybe just moderate levels of grain arsenic. So my point being here is that I really think that the choice of cultivar will be critical in terms of how one manages grain arsenic in the rice crop under an organic system. So the take-home messages is that some of our fertility amendments were found to improve yield and increase grain arsenic relative to the control. But among these different fertility treatments, there was no correlation between yield and arsenic. Amongst the different cover crops, we found that the clover and the ryegrass did offer some yield advantage as compared to fallow. However, the fallow system produced the lowest grain arsenic levels. And the yields and the grain arsenic levels were definitely varying based upon the year and the different fertilizer amendments and cover crops that we were using. However, it seemed that the choice of cultivar was the most important means of mitigating grain arsenic while sustaining high yield. So regardless of these different sorts of cultural management systems, I really think that the choice of the cultivar overwhelms the impact of these inputs in terms of fertilizers or cover crops amongst the ones that we've looked at. So the simple conclusion is that you need to pay breeders like me a lot of money to develop the best varieties that are going to limit the arsenic but maximize the yield potential. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.